Welcome to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This show is all about bringing you into the lab, beneath the surface, so you can see things, hear things, and understand things right from the source. Learn from longtime ceramists, dentists, and lab techs, both young and old. Without further ado, let's begin.
Welcome back to Confessions from a Dental Lab. This is the podcast where we go beneath the surface and help everybody in the dental industry learn and get a little bit better. It's a brand new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2024. And we thought, what better time to do a State of the Industry podcast with Frank Heiser, one of the thought leaders and the leader of New Art Dental Lab. So there were a lot of really big trends in 2023. Some that, come to me off the top of my head is, Lucitone digital printing, other printing advancements, the continued evolution and transition to digital, the rise of softwares like ExoCAD, 3Shape, digital diagnostic wax-ups, DSOs, other consolidation, and there's a ton more. Frank, welcome to the show. I'm excited to kind of get the lay of the land today.
Yeah, it's great to be here, KJ. It's always nice to take some time away and reflect on where the industry is going. And so we've been very fortunate at New Art. We've had a lot of work come in. We were very busy that last quarter. And sometimes that takes you away from these kind of bigger
trends
that we're looking for. And so, it's nice to come up for air a little bit and reflect on where we're going as a company and as an industry.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue into my first question, because in order to know where we're going, we have to know where we've been. And I just want to say, to you, what were some of the biggest takeaways from 2023?
That's a great question, KJ. I think the digitization of the removal processes, I think that's a huge one. We really transitioned into that out of a necessity. And so that's a trend that is going to continue. We're going to see increased digitization of that, not only with the milling of dentures, but also, like you mentioned, that Lucitone digital print, that we're only going to see that more and more. And so we're continuing to use both of them heavily, and the verdict is still out on, both of them have their pluses and minuses. So we're going to keep utilizing both of them and go with the ones that make the best sense for each individual situation. And as we gain more confidence in it, this year we're really going to endorse both of those products as a really good viable workflow. We know what we're doing with it now. We know how to make it look fantastic and something that we can be very proud to deliver. So that's something that happened last year for us as a company and for the industry in general. That basically came to a lot of people's hands. The AI is something that has continued to disrupt the industry. It's taking on some of the design work, and there's going to be some very creative options available because of that to private practice owners and DSOs. And so it's going to be interesting to see how people utilize that to design their cases. And certainly we have experimented. We mentioned that on other podcasts with the AI design. We're still always a middle of the road laboratory. We like to break ground and be on the cutting edge, but when it comes to guaranteeing our work and the quality, we're very conservative. And so we've experimented with it. Every case that we've done through that has been modified by our very experienced technicians.
Co-pilots.
Yep. Connor and his team, they do a fantastic job designing. And so, but what I see it doing is probably getting a prototype much quicker and allowing the designers to have more capacity in the end by just adjusting what was generated by AI.
I'm fascinated to see how this plays out too, because we've interviewed a lot of really varying dentists on this show, and one of the main trends that I hear, just like you've mentioned, is DSOs consolidating, but there still are many high-end cosmetic practices and frankly just general dental practices. But going back to what you're saying about everything needs to be adjusted with a co-pilot a little bit, at least at this point in time. I wonder if it's one of those things where if these practices that cater to maybe celebrities or athletes or something like that, the high ticket smiles, I wonder if they're going to have to just keep going with an elite designer. Because it seems to me everything I've learned about AI is it's not quite better than the humans yet. Like, maybe it will be one day, but I think if you're like, let's say you get a, you know, Post Malone, for example. I know we did some work with a dentist who did his teeth. You know, I don't know if he might, with a client like that, he might want to take it all in his own hands, like pay whatever it costs to the designer to have the highest quality work and then mark it up appropriately so everyone's happy. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, really, for when it really counts, you really do need humans to audit it. You yes. always have to audit the AI designs at this point. Now, it's getting better and better by leaps and bounds. And so that is going to be a disruption. But that said, the human element is never going to go away. We're always going to keep building on whatever those disruptions are. And that's an important thing. You know, we have a fairly large team of designers here. And, you know, in many ways, they need reassurance that, you know, your position here is extremely important, yeah. even with this on the horizon, because what it's going to, if it allows us to do anything, it's going to be to review more cases and have them influence even more cases than they've ever been able to influence before, which is very exciting, because when your experience is able to positively influence more cases,
yeah.
that's more smiles.
More smiles.
More patients. Yeah. And so on those really important cases, I think a more traditional workflow is still in line. You know, you wouldn't want to be forging ahead with experimental stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of things coming up on the forefront, 3D printed crowns, you know, and some people are using them. All that stuff, whenever you can deliver an in-house crown, that's extremely convenient to the
yes.
patient. And we
yes.
cannot look past that. That's a reality. And so, but, you know, is the quality there is always the question. You know, it'll work on some cases. It's not going to work on all of them. And so NewArt's position is we are continuing to go towards the more complex work.
Yes.
And that's really what we're good at. That's what we're good at. Well-rounded, you know, cases that need a lot of interdisciplinary work, partly removable, partly implant-borne, you know, partly crown and bridge-borne. All those things are what we're equipped to handle. And so we continue to move towards that. And while experimenting with some of these interesting new developments in technology, you mentioned the DSO, you know, consolidation in the market. That's certainly a pressure. That's a pressure out there. And so it continues to drive a lot of outsourced dental laboratory work because of the pricing pressures yeah. that those big players can demand. And so that's something that is a real pressure for any laboratory. And so we are continuing, that is the reason why we are continuing to reach towards the complex and the customized work that we do well.
Yeah, and you know, been around since 1977, you've seen a thing or two at this point, you've learned yep. a thing or two at this point. One last thing on the AI before we move on. I remember we were talking about this last year, and it was exciting. And I want to ask you, Frank, in the last like 6 to 9 months since we, as I recall, talked about AI on the pod, like how have you personally seen it advance? Has it been like a massive advance in the last 6 to 9 months in terms of helping you out with these designs and stuff? Or has it been like, you know, it's been an advancement, but it hasn't, like, has there been like a monumental leap since maybe 6 to 9 months ago at this time?
I think the advancements need to come in how we're going to implement it and
okay.
adopt it into the laboratory. I think it's there.
Yeah.
You know, it's there, and it's only going to get better by leaps and bounds. And so are the designs there for simple cases? Absolutely. They're there. Now,
go with any AI designed, you know, from the small sampling that we did. We did a couple hundred restorations through that. They were all touched up and altered, every mm-hmm. single one of them by a technician. But would they have had to be every single one? Maybe, maybe not. And yeah. so as time goes on, that is going to take more of the simple work and free up these technicians who have a tremendous amount of experience to audit the work that was done by the AI and be able to focus on those very, very complex cases and give those their full attention as well.
Yeah, and which is awesome, because imagine we've written stories about this in our email newsletter. I encourage everyone to send us a DM or shoot us an email, KJ@NewArtDental, if you want to sign up. I'll put you on the list. But about people having severely messed up you know, smiles and mouths, and it's a self-conscious thing. You know, it affects confidence. It affects a lot, and just more capacity to provide solutions in the future. And just one more exclamation mark is, like, NewArt had a great year. We're talking about some of these advancements, AI, some of these efficiency advancements, and you hit the nail on the head. If we can help produce, like, 20% more smiles, you know, like, that's more lives we're changing, and more lives the dentists are changing. That's just a really special thing. It kind of goes back to the mission and why we get out of bed in the morning. And
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the key takeaway with that is, you know, none of this can come at the cost of cutting corners in what the end result is. Yeah. And so that's where we may be slow to adopt and implement, but we do a ton of R&D in the background. And AI has not only been limited to designing, we're actually in the process of experimenting on using it with custom shading as well, you know, for the aesthetics of teeth. And so still very, very early in that process, but that's something that we're toying with, and perhaps that can add more, I guess, reliability and take out some of the flaws that the human element brings
guesswork
in,
maybe?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost where it's like auditing the human, you know, it's doing the reverse of what we're doing in design.
You know what you're reminding me of is you're reminding me of in Photoshop, for example, if NewArt has like a maroon color to our brand or burgundy or something like that. Oftentimes if you're, you know, you have the exact color in the logo, and then you're making a document, you want to put some of those colorful elements into it. In order to get the exact color, you use something that Adobe provides called like the magnifying glass or like the color picker. And you know, with the human eye, you can pick something pretty close to burgundy, but it would look a little funky if it's like slightly different burgundy or slightly different maroon.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what you made me think of. It's important. It does make a difference. Yeah.
It's pretty advanced stuff that gives you a proposal, even as far as what the best materials to use, what colors to take from certain porcelain systems.
Wow.
And so we're in the process of experimenting with that. So that's something that's up and coming and very exciting.
Yeah, that is really exciting. I guess, what do you think is going to be maybe like a surprise in maybe like the next year? Like maybe something that might not, you could almost call it like a bold prediction. Do you have like a bold prediction for 2024? Like maybe it comes true, maybe it doesn't, but you know, you have your ear pretty close to the ground. We talked to many other labs and many other technicians across the country just to always make sure we're up to date. Do you have any like hunches? I know last year you were big on the printing, and that's certainly,
and that's going to continue to take on like market share. In many ways, 3D printing is going to cannibalize CAD/CAM. You know, basically all our CAD/CAM milling. I think that's a very real thing. You know, shifting from this subtractive manufacturing to additive because of efficiencies in time and in less wasted material.
Yeah.
And so really that's going to continue to disrupt the industry, and it's going to take over more of our processes. Not only that, is even the metal printing on top of it, the selective laser melting of metal, that's going to keep going and cannibalize more of the traditional casting. And so that's something that's been growing in time, and we're slow adopters there again, very cautiously making sure that we can ensure that the fits are right on par with what we've very painstakingly cast and fit in-house. And so a lot of that technology is coming within reach of smaller laboratories. We're a larger laboratory, but we're not a giant either.
Yeah.
And so a lot of that technology is
so
becoming
agile.
Yeah, we're kind of right in the middle, and so we're within reach of some of those technologies that were very expensive at one time, and so those are within reach of a laboratory our size as well. So that's very, very exciting, but with all the roads and all the different manufacturers, it's very difficult to know which pathway to take, but that is definitely a trend that's going to continue. And that is going to be a surprising thing that I think is going to take on more of our production than what we know. You know,
I mean, I can't wait to talk to you again in the future about the custom shade AI.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk to you about that stuff in the future. I mean, we want to keep it kind of trend based for this episode.
Yeah.
And that but those are really exciting topics. I can't wait to dive into and connect with the audience on more throughout the year. You know, another thing I forgot to mention is, there's a lot going on in the world, materials, supply chain. I know Imagine Zirconia was actually discontinued in 2023, and that was like maybe a thing that, you know, it's just going to be a change. But like, talking about supply chains, talking about materials, are you seeing anything that's maybe different this year than in years past? Is it more pricey? Is it longer lead times? Like what's the latest in that?
We haven't had too many issues with supply chain, not being able to get product in on time, with a few small exceptions. Occasionally some implant, custom abutments, have been an issue. But for the most part, that hasn't really affected us at NewArt all that much. And so we try to always partner with very reputable manufacturers, a very good conversation with the reps. If they feel there might be a shortage coming down the pike, we have that relationship where we can be very proactive.
Yeah.
And so if we do run low on something, we have other options, and we try to keep a decent stock of things here in house. And even the Imagine Zirconia that's discontinued, we're keeping a generous stash of that just to be able to support the cases we've done. So we're here. We're trying not to mill it anymore because it is a discontinued product, and then we're just going to keep that as an insurance. And so it's hard to talk about trends without talking about the overall economy and inflation.
That's certainly been
a pressure.
Something.
That's
a
pressure that we've felt, of course, like any business.
And we haven't raised prices in forever.
Yeah, and that's
a challenge to maintain that.
That's been a very, very big challenge. We're committed to that because we know all our clients are feeling the same pressures that we are. The vast majority of our clients are private practitioners, and so they feel it just like us. So we feel very aligned with the people we do work for, and if we can help them by finding creative ways, and really the best way we've been able to keep up with that is just finding efficiencies within our lab. By no means can we ever cut corners on quality. Yep, it's minimizing mistakes, minimizing remakes, making sure our teams are running efficient, understand the processes, getting the proper training, all that stuff has helped us restructuring when need be. When certain product lines are down, we definitely see the cosmetic work has gone down. All over the country and probably all over the world. And so, whenever the economy takes a dip, that's something
that
happens.
The first to scale back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a want, not a need,
know?
And so that's been something that's been affected, but us being a very well-rounded laboratory has helped us navigate that well, because the same people who are working on those cosmetic cases can easily work on other things. And so the fact that we do removable, we do implants, we do flexible partials, we do anything that you may need, all on four cases, all that stuff. And so some of those big ticket items are seeing a little bit of a decline. But certainly, you know, everybody needs that bread and butter dental work. And certainly we try to offer it at a, we're certainly not the cheapest lab around. That's never something that we've set out to do. But we like to offer a nice value with a very, very good quality.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. I was actually just going to add on to that about the word value. And a lot of people have varying definitions of value, but going back to the pricing, going back to the inflation thing, going back to how it's felt on all parties, from the patient to the dentist to the lab to the suppliers through the shippers, you know, all this stuff. You know, someone once said, like, money is value. Like, how can you provide more value? That should result in everything taking care of itself. And you've had a couple great points that I love to emphasize about our lab is we are full service. We can do whatever you need. We've got a prosthodontist in-house. We've got a dentist with 30-plus years experience doing our quality control. We've got guys like Dan Ballmer, Frank over here. Really, really, really strong team. But tying it into, you mentioned you know, a lot of the people we work with, Newark doesn't lose a ton of clients relative to maybe some of the other labs out there, because I think it all comes back to that V word, value.
Yep.
And it's not like we're not getting squeezed sometimes, you know, just like everybody else. And
yep,
just it all comes back to value. And I love what you said about the efficiencies and getting your own house in order. I think that's stuff that whoever's listening to this, whether no matter if they're a technician, a dentist, or whoever, you know, it's something that they can apply to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've definitely been feeling the squeeze. We're going through the third round of all our raw materials going up by anywhere from 3 to 10%, you know, every single year. And so, yeah, really looking to efficiencies. Any business, there's efficiencies that can be had. And so we've been working very, very diligently with the team in very creative ways without cutting corners, you know, without cutting corners and without affecting the quality of the material that we're using and the final outcome. And so a lot of what we're working on is better communication and better customer service. We added a new case planner to the team at a very risky time, right? You know, when the economy was contracting, and that's a risk, but that's our commitment to customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always money well spent. And that adds part of that value, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our ability to be able to service, to have more experienced eyes on these cases,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to communicate with you on your needs with those cases. And we're going to continue that trend. Having experienced technicians available for you to discuss your complex cases with.
And I don't know if, you know, I just like to add the case manager that we brought on. He used to manage his own lab, you know,
absolutely.
So he's not just like another guy. He's like an extremely knowledgeable asset to the team. And then you look at amazing people like Lori, you know, decades and decades of experience, literally was here at New Art's inception. Karen is unbelievable, so kind, you know, hardworking. And then our new man, Mark, is a great, I mean, he helps with those gnarly cases, like
absolutely.
You were saying, and
he
and
gave us a lot
easy.
Of bandwidth to grow in exactly the direction that we were hoping to grow, which is on some of those tough cases, which honestly, I think some laboratories just don't want to do anymore. You know, we'll do them.
It's almost like a construction job. It's like,
absolutely.
I don't want to do that one. I don't want to do that house or something.
It's too complex, too difficult. You know, and so we have the brain power, the firepower, the technology to get that kind of case done.
Like, I love saying this, but Newart is some place that we can say yes, you know, and we're never going to sugarcoat, we're never going to cut corners. I think that's something that ties into our roots here in the Midwest, is just, you know, shooting it straight, being upfront. And but we are a lab that if you have a problem, if you have a challenge, we can help. And Frank, maybe we have about 5 minutes here. I'd like you to be almost like,
I guess just like as blunt as possible, but you know, like you're always super nice when you deliver your messages, but like really pragmatic, what's one piece of advice you would give to like other labs out there as someone who's been doing this a while? You're just kind of navigating this very rapid transition between analog, digital. You got the AI stuff, the inflation, the supply chains. Like, it's certainly a dynamic environment. I think it's a challenging environment. I think there's opportunities throughout the country, you know, everywhere. What piece of advice would you give to, you know, someone else running a lab or doing something like that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think my biggest piece of advice is there's a lot of things out there, a lot of shiny objects to chase right now.
Yes.
And only a limited amount of time and capacity to be able to vet them out thoroughly, right? And so there's so much. Everything you go to is technology-based. And I would just say proceed with caution. Make sure you're comfortable and you understand the inner workings of it, but don't stray too far from your core competencies. There's any number of opportunities out there to grab market share, to take on the world, basically. But I think staying true to your core competencies and being fair to your teams and making sure to get buy-in from everybody on your team is incredibly important. And so in many ways that causes a slowdown in adoption, but I think, you know, to launch something prematurely or to jump into something head first and then have negative outcomes, that's a very scary place to be that ultimately can affect your brand, your name, your reputation.
Yeah.
Reputation is the only thing you have at the end of the day as a business. And so go forward, be bold.
Yeah.
Take on those challenges, but don't do so at the cost of your reputation.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is maybe the right time or place, but even like the high interest rate environment, you know, new tech, maybe some labs buy it up front, maybe some labs finance it. I think it's always good to have the newest technology. Like, we certainly have the newest tech here, but, you know, maybe like don't overextend too much if possible.
Yeah. And anything that you do overextend or kind of reach out has to, you know, be very well thought out.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure and have the growth to back it up.
Yeah.
And make sure that you can gain efficiencies by it. And that's going to make your team be able to, go further. The team gets very excited. Whenever we bring new tech in, it's kind of like a rah-rah thing.
So getting a new laptop or something.
When we're unboxing a crate and there's a brand new 3D printer.
Flywood thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The crowbar.
Yeah, we got the crowbar. And
it's like Indiana Jones, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's like Christmas time. Sure. And so it's very, very exciting. But like I said, there's just so much out there that sometimes, just knowing which to go with is a long research project. And so I would like to see more unity among laboratories, more sharing of knowledge and information. I think that would be something that would be very valuable. We certainly, I on a daily basis tap into, you know, my network of people that I can reach out to that have maybe gone down certain pathways. You'll hear certain information right from the vendor, but nothing beats hearing it from somebody who's on the ground in the trenches using that tech to be able to give you a good, honest assessment of it. And so that's something I spend a lot of time doing.
We always talk about like the trenches, and I think just to cap off your point, like multiple stakeholders, you know, you talk to the vendors, you talk to the lab managers, mm-hmm. you talk to the teams, you know, and talk to the patients, talk to the dentists, and all that helps paint the most complete picture to give you the best information to make the best decisions going forward. How about this, Frank? One or two or three things you'd encourage dentists to try in 2024, if you have anything that comes to mind. Like, hey, everyone wants to try new things. Change is uncomfortable, but it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's beneficial. It opens new lanes, opens new opportunities.
Absolutely.
Socially, financially, knowledge-based, whatever it might be. Like, I know last year it was like the rise of the diagnostic wax up. Maybe, do you have any encouraging things, like actions, like for dentists, say, hey, if you haven't done one of these yet, give it a try. We're happy to help you.
Yeah.
I think it would really benefit you tomorrow, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now. You'll probably be happy you did. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. The first one, for sure, is one that hurts me in some ways to say, because you all, as you all know, or many of you know, I'm a ceramist. That's where my heart lies. That's who I feel like I was born to be, right? And so as a ceramist, I love putting powders on there, firing stuff, looking at the translucency, putting all these crazy effects and things, and, you know, seeing that surprise when it comes out of the furnace. But I will say, today, if I were to get my my teeth done, I think I would go with something entirely monolithic as a cosmetic case. If I were doing my 6 through 11 either as a veneer case or even as full crowns, fortunate, I don't think I need that soon, not yet, but if I were to need that right now, I think, and it pains me to say this, you know, as a ceramist, we can charge more for layered cases, right? Mm-hmm.
We can certainly do them. We've got amazing ceramists
here. We've got great ceramists here. And so, but that said, I see our monolithic cases, and when they're shaped properly and planned out using good diagnostic work, our ability to reproduce faithfully from a prototype, an initial prototype, if that's a satisfactory result, or make very precise changes to something and come out with a very predictable and a cosmetic outcome that I'm actually very proud of, you know, Not only is it less expensive for you, so there's better margins on your end, but it's something that I would encourage people to try.
That is so fascinating, because I remember when we first met, you were still like, hey, I think this is where the future might be headed, but I don't think it's there yet. And now it's really interesting to see how much the advances over even like a 2-year span and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Anything else you kind of, you know, give like the dentist the tap, hey, give this a try?
Doing a digital denture. Okay. Honestly, the feedback now, we've been doing them for how many months now? You know, a little over a year.
Yeah.
The feedback that we're getting is phenomenal. You know, the fit on them is incredible. You can actually shorten the appointments that you have for a traditional denture. And so one of our exciting launches this year is going to be a digital removable prescription that'll help guide you through that process and allow you to communicate effectively with us through a new workflow that is going to only benefit you and your patients. And so many advantages to it. We can remill a denture if that one gets lost or broken, and you know, you can mill multiple dentures with minimal cost. And so it's not about it being cheap, it's about the patient and what they're getting. It's about that, and in order for us to endorse any product, that's what it's got to work for the patients. It's got to work for you as a dentist. And so I'd encourage anyone who hasn't tried those to try one out.
Awesome. Thanks so much for just, you know, because, sometimes everyone just needs a little bump, a little nudge. And I don't think they'll be disappointed. Let's just say that. Frank, thanks so much for today's episode. I know we could expand on so many of these topics. I think this is really helpful for everyone just wanting to start the year and kind of gain their footing. Like, okay, where do we stand? Where can I grow? Where are the vulnerabilities? Where are the strengths? What can I double down on? What can I cut back on? I think this episode is super helpful for all that. And we want to be a resource to you. If you're someone listening, if you're a dentist and you know, maybe you're experiencing some frustration with your lab, like, you know, give us a call, shoot us an email. We'd love to talk and help you any way we can. Maybe you're a dental technician who's looking to take your skills to the next level. You know, there are always room for great technicians here at Newart. And Frank, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
There's a lot of doom and gloom potentially out there, right? We all see the headlines. The headlines. This is no news. It's been a long time coming. And yeah, there are some pressures that we're all feeling. But I feel very, very, very fortunate to be in this field. alongside with, this partnership with dentists. And so I think we can all be very proud of the career path that we all chose and of the field that we went into, because I think there's so much opportunity. There's so much opportunity out there. Yeah, are we going to have to get creative with certain things to offset certain pricing pressures and increases and inflation?
It's like Tetris.
And the pressures that everybody on our teams are feeling. You know, any of you in private practice, that's a very real thing for you. And so I'm excited for the future. I'm very, very hopeful for it. We've been trending with steady growth, not anything crazy, but very steady and controlled growth that I feel we can keep up with and still continue to add that that value and that element of service.
Standard of excellence.
And we're in this with you. And so you're in a good field, and we're all going to get through this and come out very, very strong.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why the future can't be great. And let's keep changing the world one smile at a time. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. The number one way you can help the show is just text it to a friend. If you have a dentist that, you know, you maybe went to dental school with, or someone you work with across town, you may see in a study club or something, this might be helpful for them. And that's a great way to help us. It's a great way to keep the value going around. I think it's interesting how value just seems to be a theme of today's episode. But that's just one way we can all grow together. This has been another great episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab with Frank Heiser. I'm KJ Eichsted. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Confessions from a Dental Lab. If you'd like to contact the show, simply send us an email at dentallabpodcast@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us at life@newartdental on Instagram. Thank you for listening once again. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and tell a friend. And until next time, we're out.